There's no place like. That's probably one of my favorite songs in here. The intro. There's no place like London.
I can't April sing. Could sing it line of verse for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
Were
but
you there when we watched it?
No.
No. Okay. Jacob was. He got to experience it.
I think I would have sang along with it. I mean, I love this movie so much that I would have been part of the singing too. One of my favorite ones.
This is the tale of an ordinary man who had everything.
Barker, his name was. Benjamin Barker.
Until a man of power stole his freedom, destroyed his family, and banished him.
May the Lord have mercy on your soul.
For life. And in his sorrow, a new man was born.
15 years dreaming. I'm gonna come home to a wife and child.
Benjamin Barker.
No Barker. Sweeney Todd now. And he will have his revenge. Where's my wife?
She's gone. And he's got your daughter.
Judge Turpin.
You gotta leave this all behind you now.
No. These are desperate times. And desperate measures are called for.
You, sir!
No one's in the chair. Come on, come on! Sweeney's waiting. I want you, bleeders.
You, sir! Too, sir. Welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation.
I can guarantee the closest shave you will ever know.
May the good Lord smile on you.
Years, no doubt, have changed me.
That's all very well, but what are we going to do about him?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Louise,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. And this is another one of April's choices, so we're going to let her take it away.
All right, so this is, Sweeney Todd. Came out in 2007, and the storyline is read. In Victorian London, the barber, Benjamin Barker, is married to the gorgeous Lucy, and they have a lovely child, Joanna. The beauty of Lucy, however, attracts the attention of the corrupt Judge Turpin, who falsely accuses the barber of a crime that he did not commit, and then abuses Lucy later after gaining custody of her. After 15 years in exile, Benjamin returns to London under the new identity of Sweeney Todd, seeking revenge against the judge. He meets the widow Mrs. Lovett, who is the owner of a meat pie shop, who tells him that Lucy has passed away, and then that Turpin has assigned himself as Joanna's ward. He then opens a barber shop above Lovett's store, initiating a crime rampage against those who made him suffer and lose his family.
And a few random civilians as well, to be fair.
Well, that's the whole crime rampage.
Oh, no, but that was specifically against those who made him suffer, which probably below
two.
Five. Oh, two, yeah.
So two specifically. The rampage is saying when he starts killing everyone, it's because he's twisted it in his mind that everyone has done him wrong. Some way, somehow, everyone has done wrong to everybody, so they all deserve to die.
Might as well kill them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, it's a little twisted on who has actually made him suffer. It came out in 2007. This is a Tim Burton film.
Mm-hmm. You definitely tell.
Yeah, and it has Sweeney Todd, played by Johnny Depp.
Which is a staple of
Mrs. Tim Lovett, Burton. Helena Bonham Carter, which also is a staple, his wife. And then Judge Turpin was Alan Rickman, and the Beetle was Timothy Spall.
Which were from, most people will know them from,
Harry Potter. Yep.
Don't ask me their names. Jacob, give us a story.
Right.
Snape
and Wormtail.
There you go.
Respectively.
I know Snape. I can't ever remember Wormtail's name.
Yeah, Wormtail. Yeah. He's the bad one.
I just can't ever remember his
name. Peter, right?
Yep.
The rat. Anyway, so, and this is, it actually came out early 19th century as The String of Pearls, a book, and then it was later expanded on in 1850, and it became what it is now, Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street, and then got tossed to in 1979 to do the musical adaptation, and there might have been some beforehand that weren't that were just side productions that weren't actually copyrighted yet, and and then you came to this, which was the film adaptation.
And even though it's a film adaptation, it is still more basically a true musical.
Yeah. There's very, very little dialogue that's purely play script dialogue.
Which is fine, because technically...
Right, and it's always leading into the next song, you know, so... Which I love. I'm a big musical person, and this is probably my favorite, for sure.
It's dark.
Musical. It's so dark. It's a terrible, terrible movie. I mean, that'd it's a awesome great movie, but the message behind it is a little sinister.
Take your kids to it. Yeah.
Anybody want to be part?
There were a few people who survived.
Very few.
Like three of the cast survived the whole thing.
Joanna. No? Yes. Joanna survived. Anthony and Toby. Kid. Yep, so we had three out of a couple.
Even your main characters. It's the true love tragedy. Because your main characters, so I don't think there's any spoilers to give away.
It's been a while. So.
Yep, they end up.
And the tragedy and the love part aren't quite as connected as they usually are.
No, I think it's more one-sided there.
Well, now what love part are you talking about? What tragedy? There's two.
Yeah, there's two. That's true.
Because you have the one with Mrs. Lovett. It's a one-sided thing. Yeah. Murder and all that. And then you have...
Joanna.
Lucy.
There's Lucy, too. Joanna and...
Anthony?
Anthony.
See, that's not the tragedy to me.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
That's one the one fairly...
Yeah, theirs isn't a tragedy, but then you have...
And then there's the tragedy that's Todd and Lovett.
Todd and Lovett, and then you have Todd and Lucy that didn't work out very well. So, I mean... And
she aged very badly compared to everybody else.
Well, she took arsenic. Yeah.
It was on the street.
Yeah. She had a...
Of course, the streets at that time and the... Home life wasn't much different at that time. Because when we see, was it Lovett, he said? She's kind of scraggly looking, too. At the meat shop.
Oh.
I mean, really? I think she's a bit more put together than everyone else.
Yeah, but she's disabled.
Well, yeah, she's poor.
Everybody is, you know, it's the poor, you know, everything that if you're not royalty or upper class, you're in the down side of town. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in poverty.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what... Getting back to the general aspect of it, this movie, when it first came out, I was really drawn to it. How old was I in 2007?
I have to know.
God, no.
How old are you now?
9 years ago, so I was
nine.
So. Good math.
So,
yeah, Logan, FYI, I've aged. Still not old yet, so that's good. But, yeah, so I was about 9, and even when I was 9, I thought this was, like, I've always been into darker ideas, dark shows, dark books, dark anything.
You know, I managed to get one living dead doll.
You know, I didn't watch this movie back 2007. I probably watched it later in my life, because that's when I started getting into Johnny Depp and pretty much obsessing over him. You guys know me too well. But this is, I noticed this movie for sure that I, like you said, it's very dark. If you notice, if you pay attention to it, they put a lot of filters in there where, like, you know, when the poor parts are very, very dark and gritty and nasty and dirty. And then when it comes to the rich parts, it's very bright and colorful. Well, I guess see, not even, a whole lot of colorful, but
it's exactly, still, even though, there's always like a gray filter. Exactly. Over still, it all.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, the mix of, I mean, the cast was amazing. And it won, too. Depp won a Golden Globe for Best Actor. And then the whole film won the Golden Globe Best Picture Award. Nice. So, I mean, it's cinematically there. It's all top-notch. And then putting the music score on top of it is just amazing. I mean, because the very intro music, the heavy, you know, got low brass in there, and the crunching. Yeah. And
this is one where, you know, this was Johnny Depp. Yes, he was becoming popular, but did anybody know he could sing?
No, probably not. I mean, he did really, really good. Yeah.
I always like listening to Alan Rickman sing, even though, like, he's not like what most people don't think he's a great singer. I think he's. I think he did good. Yeah, I think he did a great job.
Didn't Depp sing in Crybaby?
No, it was all lip sync. I've watched it a bunch of times.
Got our in-house Depp.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he. Expert. If you actually look at it, actually, there's the song when everybody falls in love with him. You know, when he's singing, and then, like, I guess he gets his girlfriend, and they get in the bike and they ride off. That part was actually lip syncing as well, because they actually put the real song on top of it, and he's just pretending he's jamming out to the guitar, but he's not. He didn't sing that part. Maybe he did sing a little bit on like on the smaller bits, but. That main song was not sung by him.
Okay.
But maybe just the small parts. Yeah, but.
But this one was definitely.
Yeah, this one was for sure. You can tell.
For sure,
yeah.
And everyone was, and I mean, a lot of people don't like the idea of a musical because there's so much singing involved, but. Because what they think is that, oh, it's going to get confusing or boring, but that's the job of the songs, is to tell you the story. Basically, take any movie you want and just make it a bit more rhythmic, and now it's a musical. Put some music throughout the whole thing. And so it follows the story really well. It's never slow. And to me, having it as a musical, having the different songs, puts more intrigue into it, because it's you can make it more artistic. And you can put a lot of different more metaphors in there, and analogies and everything that would sound kind of clunky and strange if it was just spoken.
What was most, and I don't know if you know this or not, I'll ask you. If you don't know, that's fine. Were a lot of these actors from the stage, musical stage? Because I know a lot of the British actors usually go through at least the stage companies, but I don't know about musicals. But I didn't know about any of this other cast, if they actually had musical experience or.
I'm sure some might, but there weren't any nothing noticeable. Okay. Yeah, pretty straightforward. Because all the main ones, I don't think had any stage, stage work or anything. But
well, this is one where we got to experience the movie and April at the same time while we were watching it. We had fun.
I wasn't there, or else I would have sang along too.
Yeah, right. Well. Because I've watched, in general, I like to sing along to music. Even if I don't know the song, I'll usually, like, you know, fake my way through it. Just because, you know, that's how I listen to music. That's how I get into it. And this is one that I've watched numerous amounts of time. I mean, they know I can sing, yeah, the songs, but also the dialogue between it. I know to the T. I mean, because I've just watched it so much. And this is definitely one that you could see me watching, because, like I said, I do like the darker stuff. But a really cool notable thing in this is that it takes such a dark thing, like, you know, because Sweeney Todd, he's a mass murderer at the end of it all. And even when he didn't kill everyone, that was his intent. You get from the very get-go that he is out to kill someone. So he's not a good person. And then Mrs. Lovett, as well, I mean, she's just making her way through life, but, you know, they're not great people, but for some reason, you appreciate them, you really love them.
What was that, Logan?
By way of cannibalism.
Yeah, she's really she's just trying to get by.
Yeah.
You know?
They're true meat pies.
Well, I mean, she's getting free supplies pretty much. She's just got to buy the flour or whatever.
But, and so these are characters that if you just wrote it down on paper, you would hate them to God's end. Like, these are not great. But for some reason, you're always sympathetic for them, you know, because with Todd, you see the backstory of the Loving family, and he was wrongly ripped apart from it, and you can see why he would be so hateful. And then with Mrs. Lovett, she did have a husband, but he wasn't, you know, it was more of an arranged marriage thing. This was set in early 19th century, so that's really really common. That was really common. And then she, even before she knew Sweeney Todd older, she had always been a fan of his, I guess you would say. She'd always, you know, kind of watched the family a bit, like a schoolgirl crush that grew into like a really big infatuation. And so you can see kind of the hopelessness of her case, and that makes her more human. And, you know, because everyone's had at least one experience where, you know, someone doesn't feel the same way, whether it's a friendship or more, that, you know. And just in general, the whole psychological aspect of it, where he can get from not only...
Toby's messed up.
Toby is messed up. Oh, my gosh.
And he used to be one of the most well-adjusted ones.
True.
He still adjusted really well.
Yeah. In comparison to everyone else.
Yeah. Does
he become Jack the Ripper? No.
He might. Maybe. He ran off. That was the sequel that no one saw.
And we have Johnny Depp from hell coming in to solve the case.
Yeah, he shaves off all his hair and just fixes it up. Becomes a detective.
I just really like how human the whole thing was. You know, nothing was complete dread and darkness and just mindless killing blank thought process. But at the same time, it wasn't like a perfect character, perfect setting, you know, perfect family, perfect life, and all this, which I really appreciate. And then, yeah.
Well, I did love that one sequence, though, when Lovett, is that her name? The character's name?
Yeah.
Where she goes to the white picket fence and the beach
scene. Yeah, it's down by the sea. They go out and she's daydreaming.
That's probably one of my favorite scenes, exactly when they're daydreaming the whole time.
About her future life with Todd.
And he's just sitting there like,
catatonic.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that song is exactly what their relationship is, you know, because she is a kind of preppy person. You know, she's not a cheerleader, but she's always kind of bustling about, you know, really up on it and everything. And
she's cheery, which is, even though they're going through hard times, you know, she's still kind of...
Mm-hmm. And then what's really funny is the first song she comes in on, The Worst Pies in London, she actually throws a call to her competition, and she's noticed cats have been going missing. I don't really approve of that, you know. I mean, that's what a terrible person, which is such a... it's obviously a dig at what they're going to do without letting people know exactly, you know. And
they say some people are more sympathetic with cats and dogs than with humans.
People, yeah. Because people are terrible, which Todd points out. He's like, well, I mean, they suck anyways. But yeah, I just, overall, it's all, every single character is complex, which I enjoy. You can analyze them for days and why they do what they do and maybe where they got to in life and everything. The Beetle is one of my favorite characters. He's kind of like Turpin's right-hand man, if you know. It's just like his little errand boy, basically sucking up so he can pay his way through life and everything. And
hey, he knows where his bread's buttered. He's staying close.
Yeah, right. And then you have Sweeney's main story, where his objective is to kill the judge, and he kills others in the process. And then on a side story, Anthony is a sailor that rescued Todd. So he's in London as well. And as he's going, he ends up meeting Joanna and falls in love with her.
Without knowing.
Yeah.
Her, without knowing.
Love at first sight.
They didn't even talk.
Rapunzel style.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. And so there's that secondary story of how they, you know, will they end up together? How does Joanna escape? You know, how hopeless is that situation and everything? So, and then you have Toby, who, poor thing. But I don't know, where was he worse off at? With Pirelli?
I think he was, with Pirelli, he was way worse.
I think so, too.
They're feeding him, they're giving, you know, a place to sleep, I guess. I don't know if he was sleeping outside or not.
Well, Pirelli was obviously abusive.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, very, very mean-spirited. And then Todd is a terrible person, But he wasn't mean-spirited.
No, I mean, if you think about it, she was taking care of him more than
yeah,
than
like Todd, Todd was right. kind of yeah. like that estranged uncle
Todd
that
was
lives
ready
upstairs.
To kill him a couple of different times.
yeah. Right, you know, but they never really interacted enough, you know, yeah. so.
And I think you might have gone the other way around. Not a mean person, but a terrible person, instead of not a terrible person, but a mean person. Or did you get that the right way around? I can't remember.
I said he's a terrible person, but he's not mean-spirited. Oh, yeah.
So why did I think you didn't say that? Ah, whatever.
I don't know.
Or was I originally going to that way around?
Oh, whatever. Well.
I don't know. When I was watching it, for sure, you did have the feels for the judge, because, you know the, what's his name, the actor, Alan?
Rickman.
Yeah. You know, passed away. So, mm-hmm. you know, watching, like, you know, my sister, when she watches movies and it's like a dead person, she's like, oh, I can't watch it because, you know, they're dead already. I don't want to watch them again. But I enjoyed
I always
it, though.
I forget they're dead. I don't, it's, usually I don't see the actor mm-hmm. when yeah. I mean, I know.
Until they die.
Mm-hmm.
Which
well, I knew
is
he
fairly
had,
late in the movie for
I
this
knew
guy.
He had passed. But, like, when I go back, like, I don't think of him being mm-hmm. dead.
The only thing I noticed about Beetle was, like, he was a lot like the same. He did the same character a little bit within Beetle and in Harry Potter. He looked a lot like he didn't change as much his character when he was
yeah,
playing him.
That's true.
So I don't know. True. That's just me though. But I've always enjoyed this movie. I've watched it a bunch of times just because I love Johnny Depp and his movies, and I love. Tim Burton and his movies and his wife, and they all do good, really good movies. And I was watching this, I saw this meme on Facebook that said, you know, that Tim Burton should make a movie and they should have his wife plays Johnny Depp or something like that, because they should make like a documentary or something.
Yeah, like, and the like, movie could be about making a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be cool.
I thought it was pretty funny, but
I'd like that. Tim could play, well, what if Tim played Todd, Carter played Burton? Or not Todd, I'm sorry. I'm like halfway into Sweeney like, Todd, halfway okay, in the real Depp. World. What if Burton played Depp, Depp played Carter, Carter played Burton? Because I think Depp's the only one that could pull off playing an alternate gender.
Honestly, he could. I mean, he was a tranny in one of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'd be cool.
Hey.
That would be
a unique twist.
Someone
I mean, people
listen
would just
to
be
this.
Like, some people would be like, what the?
Someone listen to this, because this is...
Yeah. Hey.
Go
this
for
is
it.
The next big
Pendant,
thing.
I wrote that down. We said it first.
Right?
Give us credit.
Oh, gosh. But, yeah, I don't... I mean, and all the songs are unbelievably catchy. Oh. And their tunes are reoccurring throughout the movie. Even if the lyrics are changed, the top melody line
mm-hmm.
stays.
It received an R rating, and the reason it received it was for the gory, bloody violence, I think is how the case put it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we, Michelle and I watched it first before we let the kids watch it, and it's more of a, to us, it was more of a cartoony violence because the blood is so, it's spraying so
it's
much.
It's super fake color, too.
Yeah, it's unrealistic, you know, it's like, okay.
It's a very high up PG-13.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rated.
I would say though. Well, yeah. I would also rate it R,
but
not because it looks like real or anything, but just because of like, the amount of blood.
Maybe
right, because of the amount.
Because I mean, I don't even think there was cussing in there, right? I mean,
if there was, I can't remember.
Remember the first song.
Shit.
Yeah. But I mean, you can say that in a PG-13 movie too.
It's true.
So.
Yeah.
So if you're a parent out there, you know, watch it first and look at.
I don't think this
R2
will be a classic family movie.
Well, no,
I don't see if
your daughter or someone was. I want to watch this. You might want to watch it first. We did because we weren't sure, but we knew our kids. You know, they were already reading mature titles, so, and plus the blood was more of a exaggerated
effect,
so we went ahead and decided to go ahead and let them after we watched it. So a parent's going to have to make that own call, but and then you'll have another April and Logan on your hands saying, we love this dark stuff.
Right.
What horror movie we're watching next?
Yeah.
Chucky.
Chucky?
That's not a horror. Well, I guess, but it's not.
It's considered. It's considered just, a horror movie, but laugh. It's not even scary anymore. I mean, the first one, for sure, they try to go with the horror. And I think after they went to like with the number 3 or 4 or whatever, how far they went. That's when they knew the comedy aspect of it.
Dolls are creepy, but not ragdoll, baby doll style. Man. Stylized dolls, like Slappy, to me the porcelain creepy. the
porcelain dolls,
the very manicured dolls, the very kind of like more realistic, the Abigail movies fragile kinda. Dolls are more scary to me, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, this to me isn't a typical family movie, though. I don't see most families allowing their 9-year-olds to watch this.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Which, but if you do, whatever. I mean, you know your kid.
That's what I'm saying. You just gotta know, watch it first. It did receive its R rating for a reason, but it, and this is one technically it made its money on the secondary market.
Yeah,
probably with people buying it.
And probably, yeah. I don't think it did like.
Well,
really
I don't think it was marketed
office.
Well. Like I was just watching that. I mean, obviously it's been a while for me, but watching the trailer, it's such a bad trailer. Oh my god.
True. And I do believe, yeah, like you said, it was probably like when people bought a movie, like the DVD, and like, oh, I love this, I'm going to tell a friend about it. And then that's when the popularity grew from it. But not like you said, the, oh, this Washington theaters is going to blow up box office or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think they did the trailer as best as they could, because like you said earlier, it is a musical.
And I noticed in the commercial, they didn't show any of the musical stuff. No.
They had some background music,
which I'm glad they didn't, because it's all such.
But
I don't know,
sometimes it can mislead the people, because it can mislead a lot of people. Because what if they don't like musicals?
And then they're like, "What?"
Because I was going to
say it was a musical.
I don't think they. I don't remember. But like,
neither do I.
There is one movie.
Well, I think it's. I guess it's hard. I knew it was a musical, but I knew
I didn't
of
mind
the
it.
Musical.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, like I said, I like musicals too, but I didn't mind when I watched it the first time. I was like, okay, this is different because I'd never seen that many musicals when I was younger. When
I think they
kind
of just assumed you'd know it was a musical because it is a very popular one.
I guess. But I just think it's a little bit misleading, though, because another movie that came out, you know, not too long ago, it was like Into the Woods.
Into the Woods. That
exactly.
one was
Exactly. And they showed a lot of the commercials, and it was just acting
rough.
And stuff like that. But there was a lot of musical in that, too. I mean, I liked it, too. But when I first saw the commercials, I thought, okay, this is going to be really cool. It's going to be like, you know, your typical fairy tale stuff, but then they throw into the musicals, which, like I said, I don't mind it, but some people that I talked to was like, no, I didn't like it because of that part.
Right.
I'm just like, okay.
Well, and I think also, because Into the Woods, it is a musical and a theatrical adaptation of a musical, and I think...
I thought it was just a play, not specifically a musical, whatever.
I
thought it was a play instead of a musical.
It could be a play also, but I know it's definitely a musical. Like, Sweeney's a play and a musical in a book. Yeah. You know, it can be
either one.
I always confused it with Barbara of Seville. That's what I always confused Sweeney Todd with.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's Barbara of Seville. No, it's Sweeney Todd.
Barbara of Fleet Street. Okay.
Different Barbara.
Yes.
Well, with Into the Woods, it's because Sweeney Todd it's a straight story. It's one story. It's one track.
Well, one and a half
type
stories.
Of mind. Well, yeah, but it's always moving forward. There's not much to confuse you on. And with Into the Woods, the reason it works so well as a stage production, whether it's a musical or a play, is because they have multiple stories going on, but it's all on stage at the same time, so you don't get confused with it. But obviously, you can't do that in theaters, on film, so they have to do the cuts and everything, jumping to the scenes. And I can see why people would be kind of
I would think having it go all at once would be more confusing.
No, what they would do, like how it starts out in the plays, you have three scenes set up. You have Cinderella, the boy Jack, and then you have the baker, and so Cinderella will do her song, her little, you know, intro deal, and then it'll freeze frame, and then
scene change,
but she doesn't go off stage, so you always have that image there to remind you. You know what I'm saying?
And then come in with and Jack.
Apparently,
and
they actually
stuff.
Have the narrator as someone who can be pulled in and sacrificed in the play.
Some do.
Yeah.
I don't know if Into the Woods was like that.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? Okay. I didn't know that.
The troll, when they're getting confronted by
the barber, or not the barber, the baker,
the barber in the woods.
Give him to her.
The baker. I'm not sure if it's the same as a play production or on stage, but in the film, the baker is the narrator and the
okay.
So I've only watched it once. The baker.
And but generally, it's just that. The narrator, and he doesn't have a different job. It's just the narrator that
right.
is sacrificed.
Right.
Okay.
Anyways, back to Sweeney Todd.
Right? Yeah,
yeah, right.
Jacob's been quiet. I thought this was one of your favorite ones, too, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I have seen it twice. I watched it in theaters once.
Favorite one. Okay. Let me take that back.
No, I enjoyed it. I mean,
no, Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Miserables is probably my favorite, or Phantom of the Opera.
Which is pretty nice. I like those.
But interesting fact, Into the Woods and Sweeney Todd were both done by Stephen Sondheim.
Okay.
So, just random pieces of information that I have. I saw it in theaters, and I enjoyed it, but I don't want to say I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't not buy the movie because I didn't enjoy it. I just never thought to go back and buy the movie. So I'm also, Tim Burton is also one of those, he's very hit or miss with me. Like, there are some movies that he does that I'm just like, no, pass. So, but I this was one that. That I think it, they do a good job with it. And so.
So we wore the library's copy out here because we've never, I don't think we've ever owned an actual copy of it. We just always checked it out.
It's kind of ridiculous. I always wondered every year at Christmas. I was like, I wonder if they'll get that for me. And then they never did. I didn't think I had to.
Now it's in the $5 bin, so we can get it for you.
Yeah, right? Thanks.
Oh, $5.
Now.
Get it on Blu-ray. It looks really nice.
Solid Christmas present. That's all right. It's better quality than what I've had sometimes. This, So this is my favorite musical, just in general to watch and plot and everything. But my favorite pastime musical, like near and dear to my heart musical, is Cats. Because, it's another one that's just an amazing musical. Yeah, because every time we went to my aunt's house,
we'd watch it
because, like, we usually went. Because, like, Thanksgiving or Christmas or, something that's a big prep thing. And they didn't know what to do with me and Logan when we were younger. So they
set us up to watching it on their
computer. So, no, it wasn't on their computer.
In the one room with the bouncy ball chair? That was a computer, wasn't it?
Mm-mm. No, they didn't. Oh, my God, Logan. Why am I thinking of the computer then? What it was is you had the normal house, and then they built on a back part that they always kept really dark and full of clutter and everything. And, like, it's like... that place, in your house that you don't really show your guests and everything. So they'd toss Logan and I in there, and they'd turn on, it was a TV, Logan. It was one of the big boat TVs.
Real little on a desk, though?
No.
No. They did have a computer in there that you might have watched stuff on,
but we just watched it on the TV.
It on the computer at least once, then.
I didn't. But, so you put it, they put it on the TV, and it was a VHS, I think, wasn't it?
It's probably
Yeah, and we would rewind that over and over again, and we would just watch it on replay because that's really all they had to watch. So that's, and I remember that was like the first musical I'd ever watched, and so, but
so we go from Cats very different to Sweeney Todd,
but both of them are very psychological. It's a big trend with me that if it's psychological, if it's everyday life. If it's nitty gritty, April's watched it at least once. Yeah. it's my niche.
Well, this is one I think most libraries would have already have. If they haven't, they've probably had it in the past. Some of your smaller libraries, when it wears out, they probably won't replace it. They'll probably just use interlibrary loan to get it. The bigger libraries, especially that have the musical collections, they will definitely have this within there. Mm-hmm. If you don't already, you need to probably pick it up.
I think they would put it more in the horror, though, than the musical.
Well, that's what we did to drive up circulation.
Yeah.
A lot of libraries, if they're really technical, they'll slide it into the musical, and a lot of people will miss it that way.
Because the horror is the sob genre on it.
Yeah. So that's what we do at our libraries, place it in horror, so more people will see it and give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to sneak it by people too, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big thing. You don't know what you like until you get a taste.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to do it then.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Amy Raich. She's contacted us through our Twitter account. We want to mention her. We've spotlighted a couple of her things. We did the Cat Bird Coyote single that she did, and here recently we did Kitty Decides. And she wrote back saying, thanks to the excellent Comic Pop Library for following up the feature of Catbird Coyote with Kitty Decides. And she goes out and says, you need to know about the excellent Comic Pop Library. And thank you so much. Honored to be in the mix with the Simpatico. So it's kind of neat of Amy Raich to do that for us. So thank you for doing that, Amy. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do it by email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com, or you can go through our Twitter or Facebook accounts. Just look up Comic Pop Library. Follow us through there, and we are also on iTunes. You can follow us on iTunes to subscribe to us. It'd be nice. I think that's going to pretty much do it. We are going to be leaving out from a song from the movie Sweeney Todd, and it's going to be the one, Not While I'm Around. That's the one that April wanted to pick out because she didn't want to get too heavy on everybody. So this one's kind of heavy, but kind of not. I don't know. How would you describe it?
Well, it's... So, yeah, each song is definitely very memorable and very heavy, obviously. But this is the only song that, besides By the Sea, that can be a standalone normally. Because everything else, it needs more story. It pushes the story. And this one is where the story kind of pauses. It's a breather. It's a very sweet moment. And By the Sea is another one like that, but it's a little bit more upbeat and, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, don't, you know.
And we don't want to do upbeat, no.
So this is the best. This is the best choice for an outro.
Okay.
Finishing.
We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We've been having fun here. We will catch everybody on the flip side.
Bye.
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 Seems like the good Lord sent you for me.
Oh, love. I feel quite the same way.
Listen to me, please. You know there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Say, if there was someone around, someone bad, only you didn't know it.
What is this? What are you talking about?
Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. Nothing's gonna harm you, no sir, not while I'm around. Demons are prowling everywhere nowadays. I'll send them howling, I don't care, I got ways. No one's gonna hurt you, no one's gonna dare. Others can desert you, not to worry, whistle, I'll be there.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.